Welcome to this podcast of Sunday nights on ABC Local Radio. I hope you enjoyed the program. This week, the King Singers are on tour around Australia, and during the week, they were able to spend some time to come and have an hour or so with us in the Eugene Goossens Hall of the ABC in Sydney. And I was able to get down to the studio and chat with them whilst they delivered of us a few songs. And they begin with the merry month of May.
Now is the month of May, when merry lads are playing, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Now is the month of May, when merry lads are playing, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la. Each with his body laps upon the greeny grass, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Each with his body laps upon the greeny grass, la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. The spring-clad all in gladness, the flock of winter sadness, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. The spring-clad all in gladness, the flock of winter sadness, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la. And to their bagpipes sound, the nymphs tread out their ground, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. And to their bagpipes sound, the nymphs tread out their ground, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Fie then, why sit refusing, you sweet delights refusing, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Fie then, why sit we musing, you sweet delights refusing, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Say did in it and speak, shall we play barley break, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Say did in it and speak, shall we play barley break, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la.
The distinctive sound of the King's Singers, one of the world's preeminent vocal ensembles in Australia for a tour, and they join us here in the studio on Sunday night. And it's a great pleasure to welcome to the microphone two Christophers, Christopher Brewerton and Christopher Gabbitas. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
That piece of music, the month of May, I guess reflects much of the group's history in that it's English, it's so English, but it's English of a different era, and it's folk. It's the English of the people of England brought to a high point of refinement. Christopher, is this something of what you're aiming to do with the group?
I suppose it is, really. I mean, from the start, the group's always wanted to reflect the diversity of music, not just within England, but also worldwide. And the foundation of the group at King's College in the University of Cambridge really sprang out of the desire of six of the students to continue singing and to reflect and to demonstrate the variety and diversity of this kind of music. They would sing the chapel services every day, lots of William Byrd, Thomas Tallis, Renaissance music, sacred music. But of course, at the same time that Byrd and Tallis were writing, there was this thriving madrigal scene represented there by Thomas Morley, one of the kings of the English madrigal tradition in the 16th century. And this was the first time that there was really any kind of pop music whatsoever. People would sing these madrigals in alehouses and taverns, at court. They were really the music of the people. It was the origin of folk traditional song. And I think the group decided that they would like to contrast all of the motets and the masses they were singing in chapel by going to the pub afterwards, doing some madrigals, maybe doing a few more modern folk song, and then some pop arrangements. And it just showed this tradition of music through the ages.
Christopher Brewerton, you're the most recent member of the group, and yeah. You also have the distinction, I think, of being the first foreigner into the group.
No, it's great to be down under again, and it's a real privilege to be part of an ensemble that's been going for over four decades.
How do you get from New Zealand to the King's Singers?
via Sydney and Dubai, and then I sang in Oxford for 18 months, and then I got a call up to say, would you like to audition? And then so I went along, and a couple of auditions later, they offered me a place, and here we are.
You come from Christchurch, and of course, all of us are aware of the terrible tragedy that's affected Christchurch. Your family, okay?
Yeah. Everyone? No, thank you. Your dad lives in Rangiora these days, and which is further enough sort of north of the city. So he's been fortunate. You know, he's one of the lucky ones.
On Sunday night, our guests are the King's Singers. Let's have another selection from your rich repertoire. This by Orlando Gibbons, one of the giants of the English tradition, The Silver Swan. Silver Swan, music of Orlando Gibbons, presented to us on Sunday night, live, your personal concert, your own intimate hour with the King's Singers on ABC Radio around Australia through Radio Australia and via the web to the world. Our guests at the microphone are Christopher Brewerton and Christopher Gabbitas from the King's Singers. Christopher Brewerton, coming into a group like this must be an extraordinary challenge, because not only do you have a tradition as rich as the one we've just been hearing of, but the group has sort of extended itself, I guess initially as a way of introducing a little novelty in the concert repertoire, but now becoming almost an established part of what we expect from the King's Singers, that is contemporary music, almost into pop and jazz on occasions.
It's been a real challenge, but it's been a great enjoyment to sing such a varied, range of music. I grew up in the cathedral choir world, both in Christchurch, New Zealand, and then obviously in Oxford, England. And so the daily services, like the beginning of this group when it started, it's all sacred things, and it's really enjoyable to perform, a range of styles and have to sing them authentically, and each one has to be treated differently. And I think it's a real challenge for any performer to make sure that you have integrity with any style that you perform in.
One of the interesting things in just noticing that stylistic thing is the difference, say, between sort of Gibbons and Gershwin. Now, there is not just a range of chordal traditions you have to sort of be aware of where you are, but the actual way your voice is used is different.
This has been something that I'm still working on, because obviously it's a different way of singing from a cathedral choir, and even as a soloist, I've dabbled a wee bit in some opera, more so with in recitals or whatnot, and it's quite different.
What's the biggest challenge vocally for you? Well, what do you have to worry about when you? That's not. I mean, it's tuning. We take care of that. But after that,
probably. Just with the vocal production, it's a completely different way of singing, and you sort of have to rein everything in. And it's not about singing over an orchestra, with just the voice. Often if there's an orchestra now, I'll have to learn microphone technique, and you know, it's just a different style of singing and a different technique. So I'm
and you have to adapt that, I guess, for a different occasion.
Well,
like here we are with a microphone, but it's in a big room. If you're in a studio, then you're working differently.
You do, and so I haven't had a lot of experience of singing in a studio, and that's something I'm going to have to learn very quickly.
Christopher Gabatas, you've been in the group, I guess you're one of the senior members of the group now. The group has none of those who were originally in that 1968 configuration that you started, but you're one of the longer.
I am now. It's a bit frightening, really. I've been in the group for 8 years, which in the overall scheme of things really isn't very long, but in the last couple of years we've had a few members who've decided they want to hang up their suitcases and remain at home with their families, and so I'm now the third longest standing member. But I mean, there's still so much you can learn over the years to come, so it's quite humbling, really.
What keeps the group together? I mean, I know musically what keeps you together, but in terms of organisation and structure, what keeps the King's Singers the King's Singers? Do you have a management structure that says we are now a company and we will have these people in and you will audition and we'll sign you to your contract? How does it work?
Well, that's an interesting question. We do, behind the scenes, have a wonderful network and team of agents, promoters, managers, record companies, you name it. And I think it's a bit like a swan, which is appropriate having just sung that piece. You know, we seem to glide serenely on as a group, and underneath the surface, our legs are frantically paddling to keep up. We all have responsibilities off stage within the group, dealing with, you know, the business side of things and the contracts or the PR or the library or the programming. But we have a wonderful global general manager, a lady called Claire Long, who works solely for us, really, in London. And then we have agents around the world, one of whom, Christian, is responsible for this tour. After nearly 30 years to come back to Australia and New Zealand is a wonderful privilege. And so we're lucky to have these people that are working for us.
Well, let's hear another piece of music now from that worldwide repertoire, this time from America, probably one of the most popular religious songs to come out of the United States, the old Shaker hymn, "'Tis the Gift to Be Simple."
The gift to be simple, the gift to be free, the gift to be simple, is the gift to be free, the gift to come down when you want to be, and when we find ourselves in a place just right, 'twill be in the valley of love.
Simple Gifts. The King's Singers on Sunday night on ABC Radio. John Cleary with you. Our guests at the microphone are two members of that wondrous vocal ensemble we've been listening to, Christopher Gabatas and Christopher Broughton. Christopher Gabatas, How do you select the repertoire?
Like everything else in the group, we're very much a democracy. We're equal partners both on and off stage. And so although one person has a responsibility for programming, we tend to sit down and discuss things over protracted periods of time. And we take into account venues, the size and the character of the venue, any festival themes, if we're performing at a festival, the wishes of the promoter, and also what we've performed previously in the same city or at the same venue. And we have very much the attitude that every piece is music and valid in its own way. And as Chris was saying earlier, we bring the same techniques and the same ideals to every style of music, whether it's Renaissance or medieval or contemporary classical or contemporary pop. And so really we like to give people a really wide selection. If you come to our concerts expecting sacred music, we'll give you some of that, but we'll also give you some pop. If you come wanting the close harmony, you'll get that at the end, but you'll have to listen to other things first. So we want to educate as well as entertain.
There's a central spine and things sort of vary off that. How far away from that central spine are you prepared to go?
I think in theory we never say never. We like to present a very inclusive attitude as a group to the world, and if people present us with music they've written for us or if people suggest songs, we take them all on their own merits, and if we feel they'll fit into a program structure, we'll give them a good go. And you know, we've been fortunate and privileged to have some of the great contemporary composers write for us. The late George Ligeti wrote 6 nonsense madrigals, Christoph Penderecki, Peter Maxwell Davis, and on this particular tour we're very eager and excited to premiere a work by your very own Elena Katz Chernin, who's become famous in the UK because she wrote a piece of music that's been used in a bank commercial on television, of all things. But she's got a fantastic voice, a genuinely unique musical voice, which reflects her diverse heritage. And it's wonderful for us to premiere 2 or 3 completely new commissions every year by modern composers.
Christopher Broughton, being the most recent member of the group, when you're confronted with this rich repertoire, I guess the challenge for you is I've got to master each next sort of mountain that's set before me, because you're climbing onto a big pile of music here. Do you have any personal preferences? What's your great love musically?
Choral music is my number one and reggae is my number two. I'm pretty diverse in my sort of tastes, and as a music teacher back at Burnside High School in Christchurch, I had to be open to lots of new ideas, and teenagers, you know, are always discovering new styles of music and styles that are born out of other styles. So I've listened to my fair share of death metal in my time, and the group hasn't got a composer writing any of that for them at the moment, but you never know, you never know.
Well, let's hear something of a little of the contemporary sound out. Now we're going right to the other extreme, Michael Bublé and Bublé's song, Home.
Let me go home. Like I just stepped outside when everything was gone and alive. And I know just why you could not come along with me. This was not your dream, but you always believed in me. Another summer day has come and gone away. In out of Paris or Rome, but I wanna go home.
Home. Michael Bublé, the distinctive sound of the King's Singers. Live with you on Sunday night through ABC Local Radio, Radio Australia, and via the web to the world. Our guests are two Christophers, Christopher Gabbitas and Christopher Brewerton. Christopher Gabbitas, we heard you in that number.
Oh, yeah.
Who decides who's doing the lead in various things? I want that.
It's the arranger, really, actually. We're fortunate to work with some wonderful arrangers. And in the beginning, the people who really created the famous King's Singers sound and the idea of close harmony, which was a term invented really by those arrangers and by the King's Singers, it didn't really exist before. The original guys were two chaps called Gordon Langford and Peter Knight, really. And
still distinguished name.
Absolutely. And they came from the world of brass band composition and arranging. And it's very similar, what we do, to what these brass bands do, the Salvation Army brass bands, with whom we've worked a lot, but also the colliery and mining bands of England, which were very beloved of their communities and very famous. And it's that close brass sound that they transplanted to the King's Singers arrangements. And it's really a lottery as to who gets the solos. But we've started recently working with a fantastic young arranger called Alexander Lestrange in England, and he's putting together all of our next project, which is a Great American Songbook album, which we're hoping to record and complete within the next 15 months or so. And I have to admit that that's the kind of style that I quite like to sing, so I'm going to slip him a tenor and hopefully he'll give me a few extra leads.
In doing that sort of stuff too, you're reaching back into another tradition, that is the American vocal tradition, which has its own distinct a cappella sound. So you could go from the barbershop quartets right through to those early 1950s jazz groups and the high-lows and groups like that, right up to Manhattan Transfer, and even on we've got Australian groups like the Idea of North, who are modelling themselves in somewhat on yours, only with mixed sounds. That's a big challenge. That's another mountain to climb, Christopher Brooks.
Well, actually, yes it is, although I spent my 5 years at high school singing barbershop and went to national finals, and I love barbershop. And it's funny, isn't it? You know, like, having come from such a strong cathedral background, I love barbershop. I just think that perfectly blended chord just is awesome.
You mentioned brass bands, and three recent albums that you put up between 2008 and 2010 were based on Salvation Army music, and we traditionally associate the Salvation Army with the brass band, but you mined some pretty interesting choral material there too.
We did. It was extraordinary. It was a wonderful project and a great privilege for us to be involved really with the Salvation Army. It all sprang out of an anniversary concert that the famous Central Hendon branch and their brass band performed at the Festival Hall in London, which is a very prestigious and wonderful venue, and we were honoured guests of the Army on that occasion. And we enjoyed it so much. Chris's predecessor, Philip Lawson, arranged three short Salvation Army hymns, really, for us to sing. And they went so well, and we enjoyed it so much, that we were asked to collaborate further. And from that first meeting sprang three albums. And I think mind is the right word. We really did go back and look at many loved but forgotten Salvation Army hymns and tunes. And, of course, the words are so inspirational and wonderful in their own way. And I think that they really inspired composers who might feel themselves to be very ordinary to produce some of their best melodies and their best work. But we felt that we were really trying to put down in history some of the great traditional music of the institution, because some of it was being lost. It wasn't being performed in the same way. The bands are still going very strong, as you say, but the choruses have perhaps declined in recent years, and we felt it was too important for this music to waste away. So we were very pleased to help them with that.
It takes us to another use of the group. You mentioned the Great American Songbook. We speak there of the Salvation Army. It's in this idea of conserving a vocal heritage, because that a cappella vocal tradition is so rich, yet it slips away from public consciousness so easily. You as a teacher, I guess, Christopher Brooke, must be particularly alert to this.
The sort of common thing with this new YouTube generation is sort of videos and things that they can watch. And I don't know many sort of videos of, you know, madrigals and whatnot that would appeal to a modern teenager. And so I think it's very easy for it to be lost, but it's so important to preserve that. And if we can do our part, then hopefully others will, you know, do theirs.
Gentlemen, you've done a wonderful service for us this evening. Christopher Gabbitas, I think we should leave you with the last word before we get to the final piece.
That's very kind. I just wanted to say on your previous point that we're very lucky, because there are so many television programs at the moment that are coming out, such as The Sing Off and Glee in America, that are really reintroducing a cappella singing and music to the world. And I mean, that's only a good thing, really, because, as you say, it can die and it can leave us. And, you know, if the King's Singers proves anything, it proves that there's always a place for this kind of music, and we try to do it as well as we can and hope people enjoy it.
And there's always that wonderful sense of something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue in each concert.
Absolutely.
Before you go back to the band, let's hear where you're going to be in Australia over the next few weeks.
Well, we arrived a few days ago and had a couple of days off to do some media work and to recover from jet lag. We then headed to Adelaide to work with the wonderful Adelaide Symphony Orchestra and do a masterclass as well. We're heading off to Melbourne shortly and then to the Sydney Opera House, one of the world's great music venues, of course. I'm very excited about that. Off to Brisbane to work with the Queensland Philharmonic, and then we head across to New Zealand to catch up with some family and friends in Hamilton and Auckland before going back to the UK for a few days at home with the family.
Not dragging them down to Christchurch, Christopher?
Unfortunately, there's not as many venues as there once were, so perhaps one day, you know, we could make the trip. I'm personally going to be going down to spend a few days with my father and catch up with some friends before I fly out about 5 days after these guys.
Christopher Broughton, Christopher Gabbitas, thanks so much for joining us on Sunday night. And let's say farewell to the King's Singers with I'm Yours.
You done dumb me and I bet I failed it. I tried to be chill, but you're so hot that I'm melting. I fell right through the cracks. Now I'm trying to get back. Before the cool down run out, I'll be giving it my best. And so nothing's gonna stop it. A divine intervention. I reckon it's again my turn to win some or learn some. But I won't hesitate no more. No, it cannot wait. I'm yours. Hey, hey.
Listen to the music of the moment. People dance and sing. We're just one big family, and it's our God-forsaken right to be loved, 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 loved. So why won't hesitate no more, no more. It cannot wait. I'm sure there's no need to complain. Our time is short. This is our fate. I'm yours. Oh, do, 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 do you want to come and scooch on over closer, dear? And I will never your ear. I've been spending way too long checking my tongue in the mirror, bending over backwards just to try and see it clearer. My breath fogged up the glass, so I drew in your face and I lied. But guess what I'll be saying is there ain't no better reason to rid yourself of vanities and just go with the season. It's what we aim to do. Our name is our virtue, but I won't hesitate no more, no more. It cannot wait. I'm yours. Open up your mind and see like me. Open up your hands and then you're free. Listen to your heart and then find the sky. It's yours. So please don't let it be too complicated. Cause our time is short. Oh, this is all, this is our fate. I'm yours.
This has been a podcast of Sunday Nights on ABC Local Radio. Thank you for listening.